You're listening to the Big 89 WLS,
where Chicago comes to talk.
6:35, Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. Happy to have you along every Saturday morning here on the Big 89 WLS. Let me introduce you to my friend Andrew Sherman. He's an attorney with the law firm of Jones Day, specializes in franchise law and a big part of small business and big business law in this country. He's written about a dozen books on franchising, and his most recent book is a book called Road Rules, Be the Truck, Not the Squirrel. And I've asked Andrew here this morning because I thought in this economy we could talk a little bit about opportunities for people who might be out of work now to become entrepreneurs, and whether it's a good idea at this point, at the end of February 2009, to start a small business and start down the path to being your own boss. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here. Before we get into franchising, Paul, there has been a breaking news story out of Washington you may have heard of. The Wizards actually won a game, and I believe they won the game against the Bulls, and I believe they won the game in front of President Obama watching.
Yeah, he actually left with a few minutes to go. I don't know if he was disgusted by the game or because the Secret Service was insisting we got to go before the crowd does.
Well, I certainly don't mean to rub that news in the WLS fan base. It's just that the Wizards with 14 wins, that's a pace of about two per month. So that's breaking news out of D.C.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Back to franchising.
Yeah. Is this an environment where people who might find themselves out of work, you know, you got a lot of people who have been on the job for a long time, maybe they're in their 40s or 50s, and they find themselves now with the rug pulled out from under them in the corporate world or whatever business world they were in, and they're thinking, what am I going to do now? I'm not going to retrain myself for the 20-year future of some new industry. Maybe I'll be my own new industry. Is this a good time for that?
It's a great time, Paul. I think you're very timely in covering this topic. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now who may have been, you know, even if they haven't lost their jobs, the fear of losing their job or a demotion or a pay cut in some way is on their minds. And franchising for 40, 50 years now in this country has always been a way to be in business for yourself but not by yourself. And there are a lot of exciting opportunities. There's some downside, which we should talk about, too. But it's most definitely one of the key alternatives that people are considering in this economy. And obviously, you got to think about it medium and long term. It's not a short term solution. You're making a 10, sometimes even 20 year commitment to be in that franchise business. And you need to really pick something that you're going to enjoy.
And enjoy because you're going to be there all the time. Don't franchisees probably spend more time on the job in the first few years of the franchise than anybody else?
It's a very insightful observation. They do. You know, you really got to be working in the business. This whole concept of absentee ownership only works in rare circumstances. And even if it does, you're going to have somebody really qualified running the place, and that costs money. So I think if you're considering franchising as an option, you know, don't just pick something because it's the hot new franchise or because you think that's what consumers are running to right now. Pick something that you really see yourself working 10, 12, 14 hours a day, potentially, and even members of your family working in that store or business with you.
Now, when we talk about somebody getting into business for themselves, usually we talk about them having to have capital to make that happen. How much money do you need if you want to start up a franchise? Give me a sample company that somebody could start off that would be rather inexpensive and one that would be probably out of bounds for most people.
Well, you're raising a great issue. I mean, let's first look at ranges and then let's look at access to capital. On the range side, there's franchise businesses that are available for as low as $100,000 investment, and that's inclusive of the franchise fee. Those franchise opportunities are very popular right now, and we'll talk about why in a moment. But the total capital investment may be the franchise fee to the franchisor, running something out of your home. It doesn't involve an expensive storefront. Those are the ones on the lower end. Of course, on the very upper end are things like hotel franchises and very large restaurant franchises, which can cost you into the millions. Now, those millions of dollars, of course, are not paid to the franchisor. They're your capital cost to get that business open. The franchise fees, the initial franchise fee that you'll pay for the privilege of using the franchisor's brands and systems and such, are usually ranging anywhere in the $15,000 on the low end up to about $50,000 plus on the highest end.
Now, for people who don't know what franchising really means, explain exactly how it works. You're starting with a company that's already successful, a McDonald's, a Starbucks, a 7-Eleven, whatever it may, a hotel chain, whatever it may be. And then what's the interplay between the franchisor, the company, and the franchisee, the small businessman?
It's a good question. Then we should definitely come back to the access to financing as well.
Yeah.
Franchisor is the company that has developed the brands, the systems, the operating manuals, the training programs, and it's looking for licensees or franchisees who will have the privilege of operating under those brands and systems in a designated territory. So if you're listening today as a prospective franchisee, you'd be receiving the license to use that intellectual capital. Now, as far as success rates go, you know, the premise that you said is true, but I would strongly urge your listeners to do careful investigation. Some franchise systems are not as successful as you think they may be or as they may be represented. The best way to find out is to investigate carefully and to talk to existing franchisees. Are they happy with the system? Are they getting the initial training and ongoing support that was promised to them by the franchisor? That's what's really critical.
And in return for using the brand and the systems, I pay them an annual fee, a monthly fee, a startup fee. What do I give them?
Well, you'll give them that initial franchise fee that we talked about, and then you'll give them some type of an ongoing royalty. Now, that royalty manifests itself in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's a percentage of gross sales. Sometimes it's a price per unit if you're the reseller of specific products. But typically, it's a percentage of gross sales somewhere in the 6 to 10% range.
Where do I get the money to start this up?
Well, that's the key issue. That's the thing I want everybody to really pay careful attention to. You know, in the days of booming housing values and 401k stock market rising, people would borrow against their retirement accounts, or they would use their savings, or they would use a home equity line of credit. Unfortunately, as we both know, a lot of those home assets, home savings, home values have diminished significantly in this market. And while franchising is still a very attractive option, you've got to give careful thought as to where this money is going to come from. We all of us have taken hits in our home values and retirement accounts, and so, you know, there are some specialized lenders, but, you know, some people are not getting the loans from the banks that they used to. The SBA has certain programs in place. And the latest trend is that many franchisors are providing direct financing to their franchisees because they know that the franchisees or prospective franchisees don't have the access to the capital that they may have 18 months ago.
So if I wanted to do this, I can't just go to my bank and give them a business plan and say, here's what I want to do, and I want to build out this location or rent this location or whatever it may be. They're going to be a lot more reticent to make those loans than they used to be?
I think it's just a little bit tougher than it was. Now, this, you know, the stimulus package and TARP and everything else is supposed to be getting more money into the banks to lend to more small businesses and prospective franchisees. That's the theory, right? You know, when you put lubricant in the engine, it's supposed to run better. But I think time will tell as to whether that really flows down to the prospective franchisees that may be listening in this morning. I can't tell you that I've seen that quite yet.
You were talking a little while ago about the different kinds of franchise opportunities, and you mentioned working out of your home. Boy, talk about having to have no overhead. What kind of companies allow you to run a franchise business out of your house?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, home services, home improvement services, certain types of business services. You know, one of the great things about franchising in this country right now is that there's over 7,000 different franchise systems offering opportunities in hundreds of different industries. I mean, so no matter what your interest level is, from healthcare to financial services to home improvement to children's shoes, I mean, no matter what your passion may be, you can probably find a corresponding franchise opportunity these days. In fact, multiple franchise opportunities. You don't have to look at traditional, you know, muffler repair or pizza or chicken. I mean, there's literally dozens and dozens of opportunities that may lend themselves to even a part-time commitment or a commitment that initially begins out of your home and maybe builds into a storefront or office down the road.
I don't know if you want to get into specifics of what's a good franchise opportunity and what's a bad franchise opportunity, so I'll ask it another way. What's hot and what's not now in franchising?
Well, I would pay careful attention to consumer trends. I mean, I would be staying away, if I were to buy a franchise today, from things that are really consumer discretionary, higher-end items, things that people don't really need. I would pay attention to certain health care and financial services trends. I'd pay attention to the aging baby boomer population. You know, there's going to be a lot of franchise businesses that provide support services and entertainment services and health-related and financial services to our aging baby boomers. I would look at things in technology. Are there franchise opportunities to take advantage of the fact that we now, most homes have more computers inside them than people? So you look at some of the computer repair and training franchises. I think the hot franchises tend to vary based on what's going on in our economy and where are real opportunities for people over a long, sustainable basis.
You know, I mentioned McDonald's and a couple of other restaurants earlier, and I always hear that in the restaurant business, half of them fail within the first year, or, you know, whatever that statistic is. I don't know whether it's true or not. You probably do. But is that one of those businesses that, because there's so much competition, I mean, most communities aren't thinking, boy, if we only had a restaurant around here, it would be more like, boy, if we only had our 2,000th restaurant around here. Is the food service industry one of the most hyper-competitive and most difficult to succeed in?
It is, but as you probably know by looking at the waistlines of many Americans, we have, it seems like, an unlimited capacity to try new foods and eat more. And what really is going on, and this is a very interesting data point, there was studies done, and they continue to be studies done, that you're right, the average small business, over half will fail within the first few years of operation. But under a franchise umbrella, that number drops down to roughly 1 or 2 in 10 will fail. And so what you're really doing with a franchise business typically, not always, but typically, is mitigating the risk of failure within the first few years because you have access to the franchisor and access to the system. So I think that's an interesting, you know, point to consider if you're deciding whether to go franchise or go it alone.
The concept there being somebody else has already made a successful brand, you're just jumping on their bandwagon.
Exactly. And they've hopefully, and underline the word hopefully, removed the kinks from the system and anticipated the reasons why you would fail and fixed those before they licensed it to you.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for your time this morning.
It's great. And did I mention the Wizards beat the Bulls?
All right, that's enough. Thank you. Settle down. Andrew Sherman, an attorney at the law firm of Jones Day. He's based at their offices in Washington, D.C. That's why he's pumping up the Wizards so much. Doesn't have many opportunities to do that this season or any season, frankly. But also the author of about a dozen books on franchising. And his latest is kind of a self-help and motivational book called Road Rules, Be the Truck, Not the Squirrel. Andrew Sherman here with Paul Harris on the Big 89 WLS.